Welcome, Hannah. She's also with the Institute for Local Government.
Yay!
Seriously. She's also a member of our public participation pillar program, and so she is very capable and in your very warm, loving hands. So I'm going to turn it over to Hannah. I'm still here, but for the majority of today, we're going to have Hannah facilitate. So.
Thank you, Crystal. Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everyone. Crystal is passing the torch, and I'm excited to accept the challenge. And actually, I've heard you guys is an excellent group. Okay, just a couple housekeeping items before we kick off the meeting. Delicious food is always to your that side of the room, three types of pizza and green salads. Bathroom is going to be right outside this door to your right. And let's go over the agenda, what we're doing today. So we're going to start the meeting by Jamie is going to give you a brief update about this committee meetings and where we're going from here and what the schedule and the frequency is going to be. Then we planned a fun and interesting exercise for you, and we really would like to hear your feedback on outreach strategy implementation. We're going to break you into the groups, and you're going to discuss six different strategies. Then we're going to move on to community air monitoring update and give you a brief update on air monitoring. And we're going to wrap up this meeting talking about CARP board meeting and your participation in this meeting. What are the options? When are they coming? What are we doing? Things like that. Let me tell you, what do you guys have on your tables in your packets? And as always, we have a Spanish version and the English version. And if you don't have your packet, it's right by that wall. So in your packets, you have an agenda. Also in your packets, you're going to have a printout of six implementation strategies, which we will explain a little later. And also in your packet, you have a presentation on community air monitoring update. Also, on your tables, you have wonderful calendars for 2020. And I know these calendars are not a thing anymore. Everyone prefers online. But please take this calendar and use it. It's really cool. Okay, any questions about what we're doing tonight? No? All right, let's get to it. And I'm going to give it on to Jamie.
I feel like I'm on a game show. I'm like, hey, everybody!
2020!
You get a car and you get a car. Yay, happy 2020, everyone. Just to kind of get us up to speed, okay, so where are we? As you know, the SERPs went before our board back in September. We're now in the implementation phase, but that still means that we've got a lot of nuts and bolts to kind of figure out over the next little while. So for the next few meetings, we're going to be going through different sections of the SERP and soliciting additional ideas from you all to kind of fine-tune what's going on. We're also going to look for opportunities to be in the community more often. And Linda actually just mentioned one to me for us to come down and be at an event that's happening. We can come to workplaces. We can come to events that you might be going on. We can look at giving advice or look at bringing. We're hoping to bring some additional speakers, not just our team, but other folks to come down to fine tune and work on implementation, because implementation is really the name of the game now moving forward. As Hannah said, much to the envy of Fresno, this location will be hosting the CARB board meeting next month on February 13th. So the day before Valentine's Day, we get to come together. And the CARB board, as I mentioned, will be here. And they'll be looking at both the Shafter SERP and the South Central Fresno SERP. The CARB board is doing a bit of a road show going through the California, the 10 communities that were originally selected. So that's next February. Then we'll meet in March. And we're going every other month here in Shafter to be sensitive to people's time. But that doesn't mean that if you have something, something you want to discuss, an idea, an event, something like that, we are more than happy to come out or to connect you with people and to get kind of the ball rolling on some of this stuff. The other thing that I wanted to just share with you all is that we've got a couple people that we're going to boot off the committee because they've never, ever been. So you do need to come. So if we contact those people and they say, oh, I've been in the hospital for the last 9 months, then we'll say, okay, come in March, and hopefully they will. We do have 9 folks that have missed 75% of the meeting. We're also going to reach out to those folks and encourage them to participate, kind of find out what's been going on. And depending on what they say to us, if they really don't have any reason for why they missed so much, we're going to boot them off as well. Having said that, if you know a resident that you think would like to be a part of this process, let us know, because we do think that having residents come on and off the committee is not a bad idea, and we could get them up to speed, do some one-on-ones with them, and have that viewpoint of people in the community. So if you know of a resident that would like to still participate, please let us know, because we definitely, it's a lot to take on, and we do think there might be people that are going on and off the committee as we move forward. So that is kind of the schedule for the next couple of months, kind of what we have going on, and then the attendance issue. We really want, as you can see tonight, not a ton of people here. We really want folks to come and participate. At the same time, we understand that people get busy and there's a lot going on. So we're trying to find that balancing act between the two. But as I mentioned, we are always here and available to support and to have little one-off meetings here and there with, you know, smaller groups if we need to. Hannah, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Any questions for Jamie? No? Okay. Well, we're going to go to our exercise. So what we're going to do next, we're going to, Jamie will go over 6 SERP implementation outreach strategies. So we'll get a little refresher what they are. And then we're going to break you into 3 groups, and each group will discuss 2 of the strategies. And you are to choose which group you would like to be part of and which strategies you would like to discuss. Now, you're voting with your feet. If you at the table decide, you know what, I would like actually go to that table and talk about that strategies, you're welcome to do. So you're welcome to stay at one table or just float around. We'll have Air District staff take notes, and Air District staff will help with the report out, and we'll go from there. Now, all your outreach strategies, if you take your handout and at page 2, those are 6 outreach strategies that Jamie is going to go over. Everyone has strategies in front of them. They look like that. And members of the public, if you don't have this PowerPoint, just go ahead and grab it from the table, and we will invite you to participate at the group conversations, at the tables.
Definitely. Public, come on up and participate once we get this going. That would be fantastic, because we have a small group.
Yes.
More participation, the better. I'm going to have my team. I'll do that actually after I go through this. So if you're looking at the printout, you're probably thinking, what in the world are you going to make me do? It's not as scary as it looks. So what I've done is I've actually pulled the language directly from the SERP. So you can see what's in the SERP. The SERP had a lot of stuff in it. We agree 100%. But I just briefly want to walk you through, and you got to excuse me because I have a little bit of a runny nose and a little bit of a raspy cough because I'm on the tail end of the crud that everyone has had. So you have to excuse me. So I'm going to walk us through the 6 outreach-related strategies. Now, in Shafter, there's about, Jessica, I can't remember, about 40 strategies. Is that about right, give or take? Over 50? just under 50. So we're just walking through six of them tonight. So over the next several months, we're going to be walking through little pods of them, you might say, and just soliciting implementation feedback from you all. Some of them might be really interesting to you. They may be one of your top priorities. Others are maybe things that, this wasn't my top priority. I'm going to set this one up. That's fine. We just want to get feedback from the committee and the public on how we go about implementing these things. While the SERP is up there, fine-tuning what exactly that means is what we want to discuss. So, for example, the first one up here is the Healthier Living Schools program. At its core, this is about making sure more schools are enrolled in the program. Christina, raise your hand, Christina, who's right over here. She actually works on the Healthier Living Schools program in Kern County, and she's going to head up that table, which is going to be this table right here. And so we've got some materials. We can talk a little bit about how the program works. But then we want to hear from you all, well, what would this mean if we got the schools here in Shafter more on board? How can we get them more involved? That's the first of the six. The second one is, where are we going to put idling signs? Where in the community? And that's also going to be at this table, because I will tell you, a lot of the idling happens outside of schools. Where can we put idling signs in the community? What are messages we need to get out to the community? How can we get folks to understand that idling is a negative and that we need to really, wherever possible, both get parents and those of us driving passenger cars, but then another big concern is trucks and the truck idling that might occur. How can we work to make sure that the truck idling is not quite as easy to do around here? And I think Carb is here. I feel like Justin was here. Justin's around too. Justin, he's back there, but he'll be up. He'll be at this table. He also is going to be looking for maybe areas where Carb maybe can do some additional enforcement and come out and ticket truck drivers for idling too much. So the next two is going to be this table right here, and they're both more just general outreach ones. This one, and we had, to be honest with you, back on December 10th, we had an issue in Fresno, some of you may have heard about, where we saw a really uncharacteristic spike in pollution on a Tuesday evening. And in all honesty, we need to figure out how to respond a little bit better. Folks, and long story short, it was obvious that we had some air quality problems going on that evening, and folks didn't feel like they were getting the information fast enough. And so what can we do? What tools are out there? And Zong, who's here, she's going to be on this table, I believe. Is that right? Or did I get wrong? Okay. She's going to be here getting ideas from you guys. Okay, we have an app. Do any of you even know about the app? Does the app work? Is it something that you think people would use? Do we need to make the app better? Do you watch the evening news? Is the evening news a place where we can talk about this stuff? Do we have that conversation on a regular basis? Any ideas that you have about how we can let people in Shafter know when we have those weird air pollution? Maybe it's a wildfire. Maybe it's, you know, a high wind event. How we can give them information about air quality. And then O2 is information really about how folks can get involved in the grant programs. So there is other parts of the SERP are where we're funneling grant money to different programs. Some of them are existing. Some of them are new programs. How can we get that message out in the community? How do people in Shafter get their information? Then over at this table, I think Anthony's going to be running this table. There's two issues that have to do with burning. Both are residential burning. The first one's residential wood burning. How do we get folks in Shafter to really understand and to really be doing their part to follow the rule and not use their wood burning fireplace or wood burning stove when they're not supposed to? What messaging can be done? Are there different ways we can do that? Are there better ways we can do that? That type of thing. And then burning of trash, burning in your backyard, taking your burn barrel or whatever it might be and lighting it on fire. what are ways that we can do? There are some suggestions here of potential advertising we can do. If you think those are good ideas, that's great. If not, come over and talk to us about what you think might work. And I think those are the six that we're going to break out and talk about. So you've got Anthony, you've got Zong, and you've got Christina. Mm-hmm. Public, come around. Rotate through the tables. I think Hannah is going to kind of get you guys going, and I'll be around, and we've got extra district staff here to answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, burning is going to be this table. At this table, we're going to have school programs and idling. And at this table, and the strategist numbers are right here on the flip charts, so if you guys are not sure. And at this table, we have outreach. In this table, we have outreach.
One of the questions that came up in Fresno is, how much money do we have for the outreach? And at this point, it's a blank check. Now, it's not truly a blank check, but if you have creative ideas, we're going to kind of track them down and see, are they feasible? Is it something we can do? Because we can incorporate that into some of the outreach funds that we use annually to kind of communicate with Kern County and look for ways that we might be able to bring funding into these ideas if they're really good ideas. If they are really good ideas, it probably is actually something that might end up being a valley-wide program, too. So you guys could be the starting place for something that then goes valley-wide.
Great. We're going to give you 25 minutes for tabletop discussions. And remember, you're welcome to switch tables. Okay, let's go ahead and start. And go. And we're just going to go in order that is on your handout. We're going to go in order that is in your handout, so it's a little bit more linear for you.
Okay, at my table, we talked about outreach overall in terms of the app as well as our grants programs and some of our other tools on social media. A lot of ideas came out, wonderful ideas. Some of them included signing up for text alerts in regards to the app as well as air quality events. There's a banner on Main Street you mentioned that... put a banner on Main Street about our programs, reaching out to older students, utilizing high school students, and encouraging them to kind of get the word out about our programs. Include like a phone tree, and once the word gets out to several people, they will get the word out to others about our programs. Utilizing publicity in terms of Spanish radio 90.1 FM, going on their programs and talking about our apps and programs on that radio. Going door to door and visiting residents with our program information and explaining the different programs so that they are familiar with them and helping them with some of the info. Presentations at churches, utilizing churches as a good venue to get the word out, as well as putting our handouts and information at businesses so that way if they're going to, Home Depot or a local business that has lawn equipment or is selling fireplaces, they have our brochures and information right there. And having workshops so that they get hands-on help to fill out the information, the applications, and that way, they're not concerned or, if they have any concerns or anything like that, they get their questions answered right then and there. Attended local events like football, festivals like the 4th of July and Cinco de Mayo. Utilizing the City of Shafter's app and Facebook page to get the word out on our programs. And then also working with the schools in Shafter, including Greenway Schools. They have parent programs, working with those organizations to get the word out, and Richland School District as well. And then also local civic group like the Rotary, Kiwanis, and Lions Club, and putting their helping having them help us get the word out.
Did you have
Great,
something?
Thank you. Anyone has to add to this list?
We also have the task force and community collaborative. That would be a good platform. And I was also wondering, as we go forward, because you've got some of the low dust nut harvesters and stuff in the future plan, do we have farming groups around here that we could let the farmers know that these are available to them? And then also, you guys probably keep track of who has heavy-duty trucks, right? So could we reach out to those businesses and let them know that there's grants available?
Those are great suggestions. Did we capture everything on the
yes.
chart paper? Perfect. Any other ideas for this strategy? And to remind you, this is outreach to increase community awareness and knowledge of air quality, the first strategy. And the second one is outreach to share clean air efforts and how communities can get involved. Do we have additional ideas on these strategies from our committee members or members of the public? Okay, well, hearing none, do I see the hands? No. Okay, hearing none, you're always welcome to email these additional suggestions if you can think about them overnight to Air District. Okay.
Okay.
Our next strategy, and just remind everyone, what are the strategies here?
So the strategies here is the outreach that we do for our healthier living schools in how to communicate with parents regarding the no idling and the no idling signs. And this table had a lot of ideas, so thank you very much. Linda, you blew me out of the
do
water.
Do you mind if I pull it so the rest can see?
Oh, yeah, yes. I can move back. So we suggested that we work with the local schools in their POGA program. I think this is the schools work directly with the parents, and we could go to their parent meetings and talk about the no idling and what we do with the schools. And then work with local elementary schools such as Richland. And Linda had some great contacts, so she will be emailing me that information. That way I could contact them. Work with First Five to give them information because they work directly with schools and they have a strong Facebook following. Also work with the Youth Center. They also have a strong Facebook post and provide them with no idling signs. With the city of Shafter, also if they could maybe post a picture of our Healthier Living Heroes or no idling signs, and that'll be a way to reach this community specifically. The Shafter Learning Center, work with the after school programs and provide them with no idling signs. Also the library, the consulate, and then provide another thing that was brought up. If we talk about no idling, we would like to have a physical analysis of why we ask for no idling, how that impacts the children, how it impacts our environment, and how it impacts us as human beings. Another great thing that was brought up is the Shafter Rec Center. Provide them with no idling signs, especially because they are behind the high school. And then signs showing the effects of idling. So just like we have the speedometers, something like that, where if it's a high idling day or it's a bad air quality, we could see it physically. So I think that's a great idea. And rewarding children for sharing the air quality information with their parents or talk about no idling. We could work with the principals and maybe they could select a child from each classroom and then we could give them a set of Healthier Living Heroes and all of our little prizes for taking the time to teach their parents and their community and being involved in our program. So I thought that was a great idea from Bianca. And then working with the immigrant programs, because they work directly with parents in a specific community. So there were great ideas from our group. Are there any other ones?
Those are great. Any thoughts, additional ideas, reactions? Tom, do I see a hand?
Yeah. Promote bus riding.
Oh.
Promote bus riding at schools because I don't know how bad it is at Richland, how many kids have a bus available but don't take it. But like at Maple School, there's about, I tried to count, but there's 60 to 75 vehicles, you know, taking kids to school past my house. And there's other directions they can go every morning.
Right.
And then right at 3 o'clock, they're picking them up. Four trips. And it's so bad that somebody needs to pay for a bus from Shafter to take kids out to Maple School, because that's where they're all coming from. But then the kids have to be encouraged, or the parents, to okay. let their kids ride the bus. Because the bus, when you see the buses, there's two or three kids on there. Yeah, that's that's anecdotal.
Buses.
So, but that's what I see going by my house, and I think I think that's pretty common.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. We're gonna pass it to Anthony.
I don't even need a microphone.
Yes, you do.
Okay. So. We were talking about residential wood burning and then, of course, trash burning, two different things. And we had a lot of great ideas here. A lot of it boiled down to more education. And one of the thoughts is, because we had the idea of holding workshops, and one of the folks said, people are not going to come to workshops. They don't want to come to a workshop to hear about what they can't do. Instead, focus more on more advertising. And as we're advertising and educating the public, to show, put a face to that. Show who suffers from the smoke inhalation, like little children who are on inhalers. More education on the actual rules and not just about the health impact. Also, it was pointed out that there's some radio talk show hosts in the community that people really listen to, and to, I guess, invite ourselves was an idea, to be a guest on the talk shows on radio. And a lot of people do listen to radio, obviously, while they're driving as well. Eliminate, one of the ideas was to eliminate our middle section when it comes to residential wood burning on no burning unless registered. Just have a you can or you cannot burn in your fireplace. More on trash burning was to have more literature out there and let people know where they possibly can actually dispose of their yard refuse so they're not burning it in their own yards. Have more billboards about how trash burning is illegal. Educate the kids in school on trash burning so that they're taking that information home and letting their parents know, no, mom and dad, you're not supposed to burn trash. And then hit them where it really matters, in their pocketbooks, and increase the fines for this type of illegal activity. Also do some signage at grocery stores, or people are frequently coming through. When you go through those glass doors and you see a sign on there that says, don't burn trash, you're more likely to see that. Somebody mentioned something that they could only remember as transfer stations or places in town where it's easy for people to take their yard refuse or other garbage instead of burning it. Rather than all the way to the dump, maybe there's these locations where there is a big dumpster that one community can actually put all their stuff in. And then the idea was to have the city or county actually chip the yard refuse for the customers. You're already paying for these services in your trash bill. Maybe that can be covered and have it chipped for you. And that's all we had. Are there more ideas that people might have?
Any reactions, thoughts, additional ideas? Going once. Do I see the hand? No. I don't see it. Wow. Well, this is a very very long list. Very great brainstorming exercise. Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
And I'm going to do a quick little survey. I did this in Fresno, and it's always just kind of interesting. I'm going to come over here so I can see everybody. So some of this is actual dollars that we're going to put into the community for some of this education. And the kind of marketing landscape is changing dramatically, so I'm going to do a little survey. How many of you still occasionally or regularly catch TV local news, usually like your evening news? Raise your hand. Not a lot. How many of you read an article in the local paper either the Shafter Press or the Bakersfield Californian in a hard copy. Actually, you get it, physical copy. That's coming up next. So even less. The reason I ask between the difference is you pay for advertising in print versus paying for advertising on digital. How many of you will read a story in a digital online version of Shafter Press or Bakersfield Californian?
1, 2, 3, 4,
more.
5, 6, 7,
yeah.
8.
That's almost everybody. How many of you have some type of social media account, either Facebook or Nextdoor or Twitter? Almost all of you have that as well. It's really kind of changing the way we get messages to people. So we're kind of keeping tabs on that as we look at how we can reach communities. And a lot of the stuff that was mentioned tonight is some of what we're doing. We're actually taking an item to our governing board this Thursday on doing a few things differently. And some of these ideas are definitely will inform how we change up some of our outreach. So, yeah, thank you for letting me make you my little, you know, non-scientific survey, guinea pig.
Local survey. Okay. Any final questions before we switch gears? Just a little bit. Switching those gears just a little bit. No? Okay. Well, we're going to turn it over to Che, who's going to talk a little bit about community air monitoring update. Chai, my bad, so sorry.
Okay. All right, well, good evening, everyone. My name is Chai Tao. I am the program manager of air monitoring at the Air District. So I'd like to give you guys just a really quick brief update of where we are at with our air monitoring efforts here in Shafter. So right now we have these following sites that are actually online right now. We have real PM 2.5 at the Shafter DMV and real-time PM 2.5 monitoring at Grimway Academy. And you can see that actually on our website. We also have VOC and PM 2.5 speciation. Basically, we collect PM 2.5 and collect VOC and then send that off to a lab to see what the individual components are in each one of those. And right now, we have it at the Shafter DMV. And once we're starting the measurements to begin here until we get our North Shafter Migrant Center trailer, once that is in place, then we'll transfer this sampling to that location. In addition, we also have a mobile monitoring van, and we actually started monitoring. We did our first run last week, and we're planning to do another run tomorrow, so we'll have two runs. And that includes around the airport and Mexican colony. And also, later on, I'll have a map, and you can kind of see where the locations where we stop at and monitor. And these are the sites that we're still working on entering that final siting and electrical work and the agreements with each of these entities. For real-time PM 2.5, we currently don't have a good location at the Mexican Colony or Cherokee Strip. So if any of you have any ideas or suggestions where we could, a safe place where we would have access to electricity, please let me know and we'll work on that. But for now, what we do have is we have the mobile monitoring that we'll stop by in that location to do the monitoring. Sure. I think as long as they're going to be okay with that, and it has to be a place where we can, because this is most likely going to be on a trailer, and then we're going to put it there, and so it needs to be a safe place, or if they're willing to put a pad on.
Okay. For like the pending correct sites, do you need a large space, or how big?
You know what? Actually, on this one, it's real time PM 2.5, so we don't need a large space.
Okay.
But it needs to be some place that would be somewhat representative. We don't want it to be next to like a barbecue or anything like that.
Well, we do have residents that work in a lot in the air quality stuff, so we could even ask if they're willing to place a monitor.
Yeah, we can work a little bit more.
And just define what you mean by large. It still needs to be.
As far as for real time PM 2.5, I would say probably about maybe like a 5x5.
So about the size of these tables, maybe a little bit smaller.
Yeah, maybe a little bit smaller than that. Yeah. Yes.
Concrete surface, so it needs to be like a concrete pad, and it needs to have electricity, correct?
Exactly.
Yep. And it has to be continuous access to electricity.
And we need to be able to access it whenever we need to monitor it.
Speaking of La Colonia, the County of Kern has allocated some funds towards purchasing land to make a community center. We're in the process of that. We're meeting with the community. We've met a couple times. We have more meetings ahead. So if you don't need it cited, you know, in the next few months, we might have a location for you.
Okay. Well, let's keep in touch on that. I know that from my understanding that this area is a area of high interest to have monitoring at. So is it somewhere around this area?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
At the colony, that sump is all fenced in. And does any water ever get in there? I mean, how long will the monitor be there, do you think?
It would be a couple months, maybe up to a year or so, or even longer.
Because they do have a fenced area, but I don't know if that's an active sump or not.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Feel free to contact me if you have any ideas or anything else comes up that we could potentially, or have any other contacts that we can potentially reach out to for that part of it. And so we're also working with Golden Oak Elementary for the real-time PM 2.5, Sequoia Elementary for the compact monitoring system, and then North Shafter Migrant Center is where we're thinking about putting our monitoring trailer there. And so I'm not sure if it's easy to see it here, but all of this is within the 7-mile radius. In the green there, you see all the monitoring sites that I had mentioned. The one with the stars are the ones that's currently active right now. And then on the north, west, east, and south there, those are the sites that we are using the mobile monitoring and stopping by each site at least once a week for about 30 minutes or so. And just running the monitors. And these numbers are just to give an idea of what the readings have been so far from October 1st to December 10th here. And as you can see, there's some high wind events, and you can see those spikes there. And also right in between the October 31st to the November 14th, 16th time period there. There's a lot of high readings in there due to the poor dispersion from the high pressure system for the after these wind events.
It's a little bit hard to see. The colors, the blue is Shafter.
Correct. So the blue there is Shafter DMV at the DMV site.
Okay.
The orange. Is the Shafter at the Grimway Academy. And then we have Bakersfield and the Corcoran Monitor in there as well, just to kind of show relatively.
The Corcoran one is the yellow one, and the Bakersfield is what color?
That is kind of like a purple color.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Yep.
Sure.
I need the actual data that you got, or the hourly data, not just these graphs.
So I was going to talk a little bit later on, but I can talk about it now. We have the raw data, and as many of you may already know, CARB is working on a website to store or display all of the AB617 air monitoring data. And right now on their website, we do have these raw data that we've submitted to CARB. And in fact, only South Coast and us so far have our data on there for, I think, all the way from I think from June to November, and we'll be adding on to it. And CARB is still working out some of the details and the proper formatting and all of that. So once that's been worked out, we'll be able to generate it quicker. But right now, we are providing monthly data of the hourly data on each one of these.
So can you make that available to us
by
request?
There's a link you can go to right now and download it. It's in the PowerPoint presentation here, but it'll show
you. Includes the PM10 data?
Yes. PM10. So PM10, we're working on putting that one in there. It should be, we're hoping sometime this week we'll incorporate the PM10 data into there.
Okay.
Yeah. And so here's just the average concentration level. If we look at our current air monitoring at Bakersfield, California, which is a regulatory monitor over there, the reading is around 17.19, Corcoran 19.88, and comparing that to Shafter, DMV, and Grimway, those are slightly lower. Now here's a PM10 concentration reading. Here we have Shafter in the yellow, Corcoran in the blue, and Oildale in the purple there. As you can see, and as many of you have noticed, that we had some spikes from the high wind events during this time period. And then that's settled down as we reach to December here. And here's another comparison of the average of those. So it's basically an average of those hourly averages. We have Oildale at 73 micrograms per cubic meter, Corcoran at 74, and then the Shafter DMV site at 46. And as I mentioned earlier, CARB has been working on putting all this together and still in the process of finalizing the appropriate formats for us to submit it to them automatically. But it is available there in an Excel format that you can download. And that's the web link. So if you just type that web link, it'll take you to that portal, and then you can select from a drop-down. There's South Central Fresno, and then there's Shafter. And then so far, again, it's just us and South Coast that have submitted those data and have it online. In addition to that, we also have, you can look at the real-time PM2.5 data at the DMV and at the Grimway Academy, through that bottom link there at the / community air monitoring. And that concludes my update.
Great. Any questions for Trent? Here it is.
Since you put up a purple air monitor at the DMV site, and since JPL or someone put one up at the site in Bakersfield, at California and Stockdale, can you do a comparison for us of those two over the last, as long as they've been there?
If we could get that data from there, I think we have potentially some other that we're doing with our test program to compare the readings from those and our regulatory. I'm not sure if that purple there. So the test program is a program to where we're using these low-cost sensors and running them and looking at how they compare at our regulatory sites to a regulatory-grade air monitor to see how well they track along with that. And we are collecting that data and then doing some comparisons, and we'll have that available for the public to take a look in and see how well these low-cost sensors work, when they work well and when they don't work well.
But we also we want to see that, but we want to see how, like, the Shafter purple air monitor compares directly to the Bakersfield purple air monitor, because they're pretty consistent within themselves, mm-hmm. even though they're not consistent always with the
in
official.
In fact, with
monitors.
That, I think the majority of these purple air monitors are uploading online, I believe.
Right, but I want the Air District to do it for us. That's a lot of work. To download.
Oh, so you?
I can download all that data.
Oh, you mean you
want
to download the data
and try and do daily averages? But you guys have a lot more expertise at that than I do.
Yeah, we can look into that. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Any other questions for Chai? Yes.
What was the event on December 10th in Fresno? So I was looking. Okay.
So the event on December 10th in Fresno, what happened is, you know, so much of air quality forecasting is truly forecasting. So it's like, tomorrow it's going to rain. Well, sometimes it does rain, but sometimes it doesn't rain. So we had a forecast for air quality on a particular Tuesday, I believe it was a Tuesday, December 10th, for it to be relatively good air quality. And we expected that there would be a low pressure system that would come into the area early afternoon, give us a little bit of a clean out, and that we'd have relatively good air quality for the entire day. That system came in, but it didn't come in till Wednesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning. So what happened is at the front of that low pressure system moving in was stagnation. So we had called it to be a burn day. We let people burn their wood burning devices. We let some ag burning go. And we had just had a fairly heavy rain a couple days before, kind of the first heavy rain of the season. And so there was still a lot of moisture in the air. And a couple things happened. We missed the forecast, and that happens every once in a while. And I will tell you, on that Wednesday, a lot of us spent the entire day trying to figure out how we can do better. We run about a 91-92% accuracy on our forecast, but it's not perfect. I mean, we're always trying to do better. So that's one of the things that happened. Because we had so much moisture in the air, and relatively new moisture, it's the first kind of dousing that we had had of the season, we had ammonium nitrate concentrations that became an issue that evening as well. So we saw a spike that went from good air quality about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to unhealthy air quality about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We had a structure fire in the morning that contributed to it. So it was just a variety of things that happened. And rightly so, people noticed. And it went from good to bad really quickly. And we then have taken that back. The board item that we're taking on Thursday is, how can we do better? How can we be better? I will say that it's a little bit of a good problem to have, and that is because the reason people took such notice of it, and it wasn't just advocates, it was one of our local meteorologists actually came under fire because he put some stuff on air and put some stuff on social media that got a lot of people upset with him because he blamed it on certain people, and it wasn't any one entity's fault. But air quality got poor really quickly. And why I say it's a good problem to have, if you go back, those of you who can remember, to say 2004, 2006, 2012, we used to kind of live in the unhealthy for sensitive groups air quality all winter long. That's really where we kind of hung out, especially in our urban areas. But the last couple of years, especially now that we're kind of out of the drought, more often than not, even during the winter, air quality is not horrible like it used to be. I'm not saying it's great. We still have a long way to go. But it's not unhealthy day after day after day. And this was just one of those things that people are now, I think, more tuned in to having better air quality. And so when we saw that spike go through the roof, I personally dropped the ball on a couple things, and I had a couple people that gave me an earful, members of the public, and we've tightened up some of our procedures, both on the forecasting side, on the communication side, triggers for when we send out warnings, triggers for when we send out press releases, when we communicate on social media, I will tell you, the Fresno Steering Committee, in all honesty, was a great... the other thing that was interesting is, I want to say, that next day we had a steering committee meeting, and you know, it's just a good, good kind of real-time gut check for the steering committee to come back and say, what happened? And we kind of walked them through it, and then we said, okay, you give us your feedback, and then we're going to come back with some ideas on how we can do better. So that's kind of what happened on the 10th.
fortunately, it was really kind of just isolated to Fresno because of the way that system moved in. And it was really just about 4 hours. But it got really bad really quick and then kind of cleaned up really quick, too. So that's what happens.
Any other questions for Trey? And I just want to say that Christina has been tirelessly charting your comments and questions. So we've heard all of it. Thank you, Christina. Okay. Thank you. Let's give a round of applause, because why not? Okay. Before we wrap up this meeting, I want to pass the mic to Scott, who is going to give us an update and share information about CARB's meeting, which is going to be right here in Shafter on February 13th.
Yes, so Scott Wall with the California Air Resources Board. I did bring some flyers for the board meeting that we're going to be having here in Shafter on February 13th, starting at 4 p.m. We'll be hearing the Shafter SERP first, and then once that gets voted on, they'll move on to the South Central Fresno SERP. What I want to talk to you about tonight was that we are actually taking members of our board out on community tours that morning of the board meeting. So some of the board members will be in Fresno. Some of them will be here in Shafter. We'll be picking them up at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Marriott in Bakersfield, and then kind of bringing them over. They'll be 2 hours total in the bus and doing certain stops and a tour of the Shafter area. So on those buses, we do actually have some seats reserved for some of the community steering committee members. And so what I'm hoping to find out tonight, just by maybe a show of hands, who on the committee might be interested and or available in joining the board when they go out to hear from the community and kind of see the problems firsthand. Anybody? 1, 2, 3. Okay, great. So what I've got, I brought some sign-up sheets just so that we know how to get in touch with you and communicate with you as the kind of the plans progress. So if you could, if you raised your hand and you're interested in joining the board for the tour, if you could go ahead and just put your name on the sign-up sheet, and if you want to add Kathy to that, that'd be great as well. And then that's what we will use to actually stay in touch with you with the logistics. We would probably need to have you get to the Marriott at the Convention Center in Bakersfield, which is where the bus will be picking up the board. But any questions for me now? The bus will be picking up at 10 a.m., So it's a 10 to noon.
10 to noon, and picking up at Marriott.
Marriott, yes.
On February 13th.
And it's the Marriott Convention Center.
Thank you.
Quick question. Do you have the locations that you're going to be stopping, or?
Our environmental justice group is going to be working I've asked Trish to basically work out, like, reach out to maybe you and Gus and some other folks on the committee to help formulate what those stops might be. So it's not identified yet, but we're going to be working on that.
Would you like residents to be, like, on the stations waiting for the CARB members?
I'm gonna leave that up to Trish.
Okay.
She's our EJ expert.
I'll contact Trish.
Yeah, that would be great. If you want to get in touch with Trish, I'm sure that she is open to whatever kind of thoughts you have. It would be beneficial. So,
okay.
Of course, recognizing the fact that we have 30 minutes travel time here, an hour in the community, and then 30 minutes travel time back to Bakersfield. So,
I do know that Jared and Yana are going to be here the day before. I don't know if you want me to do the same tour. I'm doing actually a tour for them.
Okay.
So, if you guys would want, I could try to schedule
perfect.
Both of them together.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with Trish, that's great. She's spearheading the actual coordination of the stops. That'd be great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Any other questions for me? The board member specifically? No, we don't know at this point. We're still trying to. There's a tour happening in Imperial in a couple days, and I think they're still trying to finalize who's going on that one. So it's just it's whichever board members can make it actually that day and get there early enough to do the tour. Anything else?
Great, thank you.
Thank you
so much. So Scott is passing the forms. Please write your name indicating your interest and CARB, people will be in touch with you, and Bianca will be contacting Trish. Okay. Oh, we have... We need another form? Okay, right. Okay, any more questions? Any final thoughts before we wrap up the first 2020 steering committee meeting? Jamie's excited. You're always excited, which is a good thing. We need good energy here. Okay, folks, Jamie, want to say a couple words? No? Okay, I see the microphone. Okay, so folks, our next steering committee meeting is going to be on March 9th at 5:30 in this place, March 9th. You can take this wonderful calendar and circle March 9th, the date, right on that calendar, or put it in your cell phone, whatever works best for you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight and taking time out of your busy lives, and we'll see you in March.